And welcome. You're tuned to Heart of Mind Radio over PRN.FM. Here we are. And I've had a very interesting morning. Actually, I'm tempted to say that there was, you know, the old Murphy's Law, everything that can go wrong will go wrong. But I actually think things went correct and as planned, possibly not my local plan, not the plan of my small self, perhaps the greater plan has been working as it should be, and I believe that that's the case. I'm one of these folks, my name is Catherine, I host this program, and I'm one of the folks who is always on a bit of a roller coaster ride. I find life to have many ups and downs, and it's not necessarily a bad thing. It makes for a very interesting life experience, I have to say. So we'll be talking about that a little bit more as we go along. I wanted to share a few news stories with you that I found very interesting. And one of them is a rare green comet is now the closest to Earth it will be for 8,000 years. That's the headline. And it's really interesting because when I saw pictures of this comet, it was this beautiful emerald green radiant ball of light, you know, with a center, and this long tail of this green-blue effervescence. And so these beautiful photographs are showing this comet, which is green, and green is my patron color, I guess, patroness color, because it's the color of the heart. Emerald is the radiance of the heart, the purity of the heart. And so when I looked at this, I was like, I wonder if this is some way of the cosmos talking to us here on Earth and giving us a message that maybe it's time, finally, to transform ourselves according to the radiance of our hearts. And I'm looking at this in that way on a metaphysical level. And then when I looked at the article itself, I had to laugh just a little bit because the name of the person who this object is named after, the person who discovered it, the amateur astronomer, Terry Lovejoy. Now, I know that, you know, okay, the guy's name is Lovejoy, but somehow in the synchronistic thing, way of looking at things, you know, there's that double connection that the person who first discovered is a amateur astronomer, so not one of the big guys on top of a hill, but a regular guy like you and me, is the one who discovered this beautiful object, and his name is Lovejoy. So if I were to think that this beautiful comet was here in our galaxy to remind us to pay attention to our hearts, wouldn't that be the perfect confirmation in the person's name of love and joy is part of the message being delivered by this rare green comet? And so now all of the observatories are looking at it and and taking pictures of it. And it came closest to the Earth on January 7th, which is exactly just a few days ago. And it will shine brightest in the night sky. So you could actually go out and see it in person. You can look up and find it. I've been looking for it. The moon was a little bit bright on the 7th, so I'm not sure if I actually saw it, because the moon would need to be just a little bit more dim in order to see the brightness of the green comet. But I invite you to get out there and see if you can find it. It should be visible through January 21st. And I happen to think that this is a message to humanity that it's time for us to make this transition, or maybe it is that this time is naturally the transition from our overarching mental focus into our heart-centered focus. And I believe that that's the message of this comet, because everything that occurs in the heavens occurs on the earth. There's an interrelationship, as well as everything that occurs in the earth has an impact on our lives sitting on top of the earth. And the next news story I have is 26 earthquakes later, fracking's smoking gun is in Texas. So for those of us who are wondering, when are these multinational companies going to stop digging into the earth and cracking it open so that they can withdraw every ounce of resource of the earth for their own and allegedly for humanity's well-being? I believe that there are many ways that we can find energy sources from free sources. I mean, free in the atmosphere, in the universe. We don't have to go digging into the earth for it. But the story is this: after 11 quakes in the last 2 days, with one registering at 3.6, Irving, Texas's sudden onset tremor problem might be the fracking industry's nightmare. There's a monster lurking under Texas, beneath the sand and oil and cowboy bones, and it's getting a little restless after 15 million years. Shaking things up in the city of Irving, just slightly west of Dallas, where no less than 10 earthquakes yesterday and today brings the total tremors to 26 since October in the town alone. So this story actually came out a couple of days ago. Over 100 quakes have been registered in the North Texas region since 2008, a staggering uptake from just one earthquake in the year prior. So all of this has occurred as a result, apparently, of the fracking that's taking place there, because I have a great deal of it happening. The Balcones Fault Zone divides the Lone Star State in half, loosely following the route of Interstate 35 and passing under Fort Worth, Waco, Austin, and San Antonio. And it's not just a huge amount of human population that sit on top of it. There are thousands of fracking wells boring down into the earth's crust, pumping millions of gallons of water down with the direct intent of breaking apart what lay beneath. Irving itself has more than 2,000 of these sites nearby, and some of the more than 216,000 statewide injection wells responsible for disposing of fracking wastewater byproducts in close proximity, located thousands of feet below the ground. These wells hold millions of gallons of chemically tainted H2O, and science has proven that the pressure and liquid combination can combine to lubricate fault lines, and that may well be what is happening in the Barnett Shale region around Dallas and Irving. So this state of Texas has gone really gung-ho into the whole fracking industry, and they are beginning to suffer the consequences. So far, there are small quakes, but the potential of a huge quake is growing ever larger. And the same problem is happening in Ohio as well, where 77 earthquakes have taken place. Now, these earthquakes are small tremors. They're not big earthquakes. But the industry is now beginning to realize and have as policy, we can only do fracking for so long, and then we have to move on to another site. Well, apparently, though, when these sites combine, and you have so many, the danger of earthquake becomes massive. And I'm hoping that this revelation will begin to wake up more people throughout the country, that the fracking industry is not one that is viable for humanity. So that's an interesting story to take a look at. And there's one other story. I won't get into the reading of it because it's really a lot of scientific speak, which I'm not good at translating. But essentially the heading of this story is: the new theory suggests that we live in the past of a parallel universe. And as much as that might confront our sense of reality, it very much is in a line with what I'm beginning to understand and what I'm learning through research of what our true reality is, that we are multidimensional and that we are conscious in this particular phase of our existence on this planet at this time, 2015 in January, New York City or wherever you're listening. But we're also alive in other quantum states and other places and other time frames. And what we think of as past lives and future lives are actually all occurring simultaneously. And it's not simultaneous from our level of consciousness, but from the level of our higher being, our soul consciousness. The soul of who we are can look out on the landscape of its being and will see its emanations or its lives that it creates, gives birth to, all happening at the same time. So from the soul's perspective, it can engage with you in 2015. It can also alternately at the same moment engage with the being that might have been alive in the 19th century or the being that might have been alive in the Pleiades or a being that might, you know, the star system or a being that might be alive in the future, greatly in the future. And so that from the perspective of our ensouled self, the higher self, everything is parallel, everything is happening at the same time, and it can engage in the doings of the beings it gives birth to in any of the experience that exist from the perspective of our life. Might seem like the past, might seem like the future, but time is itself an illusion. So, interesting stories in the news, and when we come back, I think I'm going to take an early break for announcements, and I'll be back in just a few minutes, and I'm going to share some a recording that I prepared for you actually this morning before I left the house. So it threw my whole system in a little bit of being off my center, but it's good because it means I'm moving to a new central point of focus. So stay tuned. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio over PRN.FM on the internet. Stay tuned.
This is PRN.FM, the number one station for progressive minds.
The United States and the world are in several crisis situations, as we all know. But we're going to talk about electric magnet fields, EMF, and what they're causing with cell phones, smartphones, Wi-Fis, cell towers, telephone wires, and more. This is a major crisis, and we're going to come up with reasons and show you what we can do about it. It's causing cancer and many dreaded, ugly diseases, headaches, you name it. Some very important people have died using their cell phones. All right. We'll have a great guest coming on this Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern time on this station. That's 2 p.m. Eastern and 11 a.m. Pacific. Her name is Liz Barris. She's a supreme activist and does many, many things in the field. She'll talk about the crisis. We're going to have things, serious changes on the way. We're going to do them. So tune in our show Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm Bobby Elias. Let's create a better world.
The emotional and financial impact of divorce on the workplace can be significant to both employees as well as employers. This is Jack Tuckner, host of Women's Rights in the Workplace. On our next show, we'll be joined by Liza Caldwell in Kimberly, Michigan, of SAS for Women, a comprehensive divorce information, education, and support center. As divorce experts, they'll be sharing advice on what steps you need to take if you're thinking about divorce. Join us this Monday, January 12th at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you.
This is Cliff Stewart with A Just Cause Coast to Coast, where we bring education, awareness, and information about judicial injustice. AJC Coast to Coast is the place to listen to topics about the fight against wrongful convictions, judicial injustice, and corruption. Join us every Sunday with Sam Thurman, Ethel Lopez, and me from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 Eastern Time on Progressive Radio Network. That's PRN.FM.
Stay tuned for the best information on health and nutrition, current events, economics, the environment, and more on PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
Welcome back. This is Heart of Mind Radio. I'm Catherine Davis, and this is the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And for those of you who would like to call in after I play the recorded segment, I do invite your phone calls if you have some comment or thoughts. And the call-in number is 888-874-4888. Again, that's 888-874-4888. And it's interesting. I've had an interesting week in the sense that I have been very much affected emotionally by a lot of what's been going on in the world. And I try to stay a little bit apart. I don't immerse myself in the news and engage in the energy and the anger and fear of the day. At least I try not to. But eventually it does seep in, and I began to do research in what was really going on with our world and why is it that it's so backwards and upside down and why there's so much negativity and toxic behavior from the perspective of our global leaders, from the perspective of the greater world. And I began to realize that we're all living with this mass consciousness of hostility, fear, and attack, as well as greed and all of these things that were spoken of actually last week by the gentleman Naba Lamusa Moradenibig when he was talking about a system that allows our world to fall into corruption and to be organized under the auspices of corruption, human beings who've moved into that state of mind, that state of being. And so I see all of this happening in terms of the finances, in terms of pollution to the world, in terms of economic injustice, civil injustice with people being incarcerated unduly, targeted, stop and frisk, all these things going on, all these chaotic episodes of life. And I was just trying to understand why it is that this is occurring at a time when we should be moving into this, you know, new phase of existence on the planet, according to the spiritual teachings as well, to the spiritual teachings. And so I spent a good deal of time contemplating, or at least almost getting lost in the sense of I won't say angry, I won't say sorrow, but something in between of just feeling dissatisfied with life, with the world, because, you know, things are just so difficult for so many. And all of us actually in some fashion. We're all going through some kind of change, either in our world externally or in our beings internally. And so it all seemed very, very confusing to me. And so very often when I have these bigger questions, I tend to process them internally and work my way through breathing, meditation, contemplation, writing, and allowing myself to be to receive the answer or an understanding. And in this particular instance, well, actually it's been happening for quite some time, I'm getting a much more direct reading of the situation when I take the time to just quiet myself and open up. I allow myself to receive a guidance from the higher soul, the higher being, the higher aspect. I'm not clear what I would call it, except that my relationship to it is more that of a, you know, an acolyte to a master, perhaps, you know, but it's an inner conversation, an inner dialogue in which I come to an understanding of greater things. And so this morning I opened myself to receive one of these guidances, and I thought I would just, you know, throw the doors open and just put myself out there, and I would share it with you. I just did it this morning. But it really does give us an opportunity to have insight into what's possible for each of us to do for ourselves, and a way of gaining insight into the larger picture of what's happening in the world, because what we want is to stay focused on our own evolution as a being, and then allow that to grow into the evolution of all of humanity without getting pulled down by this negativity. And the negativity seems to be everywhere that we exist, breathe, swim. And so it is a challenge. So I'm going to share this with you at this moment. It's recorded higher guidance from this morning. So I hope you enjoy it. Stay tuned. To do a meditation today on the new year. 2015 is the year of faith, trust, knowing, being. Take a few deep breaths. Invite the presence of my higher being, my higher self, to embody its wisdom within my physical being, within my understanding. I invite the presence of my higher self, my all-knowing self, to express through my being an understanding and meditation on faith. Faith is the foundation for expressing in confidence with divine will. It is a knowing that all is as it should be and in alignment with the highest good of self and all. Faith is that which allows one to be at peace with the circumstances, whatever they may be, in knowing that life itself is an expression of the divine. All life is acceptable to the divine, and all paths are acceptable to the divine. To have faith is to understand that the choices being made are the choices inspired by one's higher expression, more refined expression, and informed by the wisdom of that vantage point. So that what looks like an expression of troubling affairs can often just be the rocky passageway through turbulent energies and a means of releasing from your field of energy that which has been stuck and holding your being in stasis and preventing your progression, so that the troubling times can be understood as the process through which transformation is occurring. So one carries their faith within themselves as they witness the turbulence around them, and as this witness of faith, we can have deeper understanding that our lack of understanding is not a judgment of the situation at hand, and a lack of understanding is simply that alone. And in faith, we carry a deeper knowing that all is as it needs to be in that given moment. The turbulence we experience or witness is part of our own unfolding and coming to a state beyond this turbulence. As all beings are on their own path of understanding and are processing a unique set of inner turbulence, we cannot internalize that which we witness as being necessarily our own resolution. However, to witness is to understand that there is some reflection of this turbulence within that is also being released through that which we witness. The key is not to expand and become drawn into the turbulence that we witness in our family of humanity and understand that all beings are in a similar process of frustration and turbulence and release of old energies. As we become more assured in our faith and knowing that this turbulence is not the substance of our being, but that which passes through our beings, we can rest in peace as we witness within our own beings and within our fellow beings these turbulences as they stir the release of old energies. The old energies that existed in the age of the fourth sun of the fourth dimensions have been unhinged as a point of divine decree. It is time for the change and translation and transformation of these energies to the new uplifted energies of the fifth, sixth, and seventh vibrations. In order for these less dense vibrations to embody within humanity, humanity must first extinguish the old energies from the physical body, from the emotional body, from the psychological body, from the realm of the natural world and the planet, Gaia, from the atmosphere, and beyond the physical atmosphere, the energetic atmosphere, must all be cleared of these old energies. The turbulence experienced at this time is that process of release, for to release is to experience, to feel, to let go of. It is a tactile, experiential occurrence. Therefore, one must carry their faith within in knowing that this is what the occurrence we see and witness, we feel and experience. This is what is happening. And as we witness and experience the turbulence, we carry in this inner faith the knowing that all is well, the transitions will occur, are occurring, and what appears to be is not what is truth in our being. And our faith is grounded in the truth of our being. And this truth is that we, through our physical, our experience, our embodying, our being in the world, is the expression of the divine all, and our mission, such as it is to clarify that expression of divine being within and as the expression of our living experience, of our loving experience, of our unification as this experience and expression within our world, this Gaia, within our beings, our body, and within our community as a unified humanity in the expression of the divine all in the experience of being a human. That was myself in a recording I created this morning before coming into the studio. The music behind the guidance is David Darling, and the name of the piece is called Sweet River. I believe that might be the name of the CD as well. And so this was really a very interesting experience. What happens very often is that I'll be pondering upon a particular question, and then out of that will come a understanding or will arise from that. I don't usually record the process, but this morning I decided to do that. And it was interesting because it was more like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning is when I actually got the insight. And it was almost as if someone had dropped into my sensibility this word faith. And so I woke up, and it felt like if somebody were dripping water, but it was dripping, you know, this sense of just sort of permeated my inner self in the word faith. And I'm saying to myself, faith, I don't get that, you know, because probably I never did get it. I never really could quite understand what this means because, you know, the religious teachings are, you know, you have to have faith and believe what we tell you, that all the stories we tell you are true. It doesn't matter that it makes no sense to you. Just have faith. Just believe. And so I was never one to fall into that believing based on faith, something that made no sense to me. So when I hear the word faith, I was like, I don't know what this means in relationship to what my experience is at this moment. So I found that I would open up that space and just ask and see what insights come forth for me. Now, this is something we all do all the time and can do, is, you know, sit down and allow that inner awareness to rise up into our consciousness and give us the answers to our questions. And so, you know, this was something that occurred for me. And we have a few minutes if you want to call in and if you have any thoughts or if your own such experience, 888-874-4888. That's 888-874-4888 if you'd like to call this program. And you're listening to Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. And so, as what was happening, you know, there was this progression of experiences where I have been researching on the internet, looking for the underlying force that is creating chaos in the world. And I did find some insights into that through the, you know, historical record of what transpired in terms of the coalition of power and of the Vatican of the time when the Romans took over the Christian church, and then they were, you know, they murdered off all of their opposing factions of Christianity, and then the early Roman Catholic Church became an alliance with old royal families who were very much bankers, and out of that alliance they created a a treaty, which I believe they called the Great Satanic Act. And it wasn't really about Satan or the devil. What it was an act, a legal document that gave permission to these ruling families and their bankers to go out into the world and conquer it. Because what this act did, the Great Satanic Act did, was it aligned, according to the dictates of the early Roman Church, that all beings that were not of the class of the Roman Catholics or the elite of the time were in fact in league with Satan. And so they had this legal document that would say, okay, all peoples of Africa, all peoples of South America, all peoples even of Europe who were not of in alignment with the teachings of the church would by default be in alignment with Satan. And so gave permission to these elite ruling families, bankers, and shippers to conquer the world. Because after all, everyone is just in league with Satan. So this was the legal document that gave the permission of the early elite of Europe to conquer, go through the world, conquer, plunder, and take what they wanted. And at the same time, be willing to either convert or convict or kill any peoples that had a problem with their culture being overrun by this elite. And so I'm looking at this and I'm like, wow, this is really interesting. And then when you go further into the research, you'll see that this elite are the early bankers that came in and sort of embedded themselves in during the American Revolution and subsequent revolutions. And they are the very same beings, companies, families, elite groups that have promulgated war for the sake of continuing their profit and for the sake of continuing their design on what would seem to be this very, very early act that aligns all peoples of the world as being in league with Satan. You know, it's really an interesting thing because you don't believe that these people believe this at all. But what I'm looking at is the just the synchronicity or the path of history that's taken us to the point that we are right now, where we're living in a world where there's a dominant elite that seems to be bent on destruction and are so intoxicated by their greed that they can't seem to see the destruction, or if they do, they don't seem to care. And so this put me into a real tailspin of feeling quite depressed, and it made me want to really understand what was happening. And that's how I got into this sort of funky state of mind where I didn't know where I was going, what I was doing, how I should feel. And then I was on the train a couple of evenings ago, and I saw this person who was falling into what seemed like dementia and was ranting and raving. And for the whole trip was, ranting and raving. And as I was about to leave the train, this person walked to the next car and physically attacked a young person. And I was like so shocked. And, I was running towards the other car. Don't know what I thought I was going to do, but I didn't have to because people in the car separated the people and apparently threw the fellow off the train. But I could see the sinking of dementia where this person was just going deeper and deeper into this state of insanity. And on the surface was a young, beautiful young person. And I'm like, you wonder what is causing us to sink into this state of insanity. Of course, this was an extreme level, but I feel on some level all of us are in danger of being sucked into that black hole of insanity that is historical to all this stuff that's been going on in the world that we live in, because the energy is still with us. Even though our time frame, our relationship to the world, to the golden age, if you believe in that, it has transitioned. Even though we've moved from the fourth to the fifth to the sixth sun in terms of the cosmological time, we still have all this old energy to deal with. And as I've been trying to process a way of understanding what's happening is how I reached into that state of meditation where I experienced this drop of guidance that was leading me towards faith, which I couldn't see immediately as a solution to the problem. But I went deeper into that meditation and I came up with that which you heard during this program. So I'm hoping that it was of some use for you. It was certainly helpful to me to understand that the real work of this age, the real work of those who consider themselves to be transformers, light workers, transitioners, moving to a higher vibrational consciousness, it's really important to hold onto that higher vibration and not be drawn into the negativity, either in thought or emotions or deeds. And so the guidance of falling upon this faith is to allow us to understand with a comprehension and consciousness that what's happening is a clearing and that we need not fall into that pit of anger, frustration, and argumentativeness and fighting. And if and when we find ourselves falling in to a state of depression or falling into a state of argumentative or falling into a state of confusion, is to give ourselves the grace of understanding that it's okay, nothing is wrong with us. It's just an indication to me that it's time for me to take a step back and allow this to process through my field and allow myself to grow from the understanding of that process without tipping over into that consciousness. So it's sort of a heads up. When you're starting to feel something, feel lousy, it's not because you are lousy, it's because some energy is flowing through you out of the collective consciousness, and you have an opportunity to stay out of that being smothered by it, and the opportunity to hold on to your senses and get through to the other side and allow your connection to your higher guidance to give you that expanded perspective on what's happening so that you can, and you sort of latch on to that higher guidance. And we're like being bantied about by the energies on the planet, but we can get through it by understanding and connecting to that which precedes us, created us, and is guiding each, every one of us have that connection. So hopefully you will be guided by that in some way. At any rate, we are running close to time here on the program, so I wanted to make sure that you would be able to connect with me. I have to apologize. I've been going through this internal thing, so I haven't had a chance yet again to return all of my phone calls, so they're starting to build up, but I promise I will get to these phone calls and we'll communicate. You could also contact me by email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. For those of you who wish to connect by phone and leave a message for me, that's 347-480-1694, 347-480-1694. Now, this is actually a Skype, you know, so those of you who have Skype could also send text messages through Skype, 347-480-1694, and you can, if you have Skype, you can connect that way as well. And if you want to take a peek at some of the work that I do, you can visit the website qigongonline.net. And it's spelled with a Q. Qigongonline. Qigongonline.net. And that's where I'm feeding in my blogs and my insights and inspirations are coming through that website, as well as there's video there, Qigong video, meditation video, some chanting, some movement exercises, and you get some insight into some of the teachings that come through that process. If you're interested in the broadcast itself, you could go to heartofmindradio.com, heartofmindradio.com, and that will connect you into the broadcasts of Heart of Mind Radio. So that's how you can connect with myself. I'm Catherine Davis. This is the Progressive Radio Network, and please do stay tuned for more great programming.